This is PFW in progress.
You guys are arresting me for getting thrown out of a window? I got thrown out of a window, man.
Yeah, but tell me, so what's the charge?
Disturbing the peace.
Disturbing the peace? I got thrown out of a window. What's the charge of getting pushed out of a moving car, huh? Jaywalking?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Yes. I'm looking for a gray-haired gentleman, very dark skin, Capricorn. Tell him that I went to the clinic today, and I found out that I have herpes simplex 10. And I think Victor should go check himself out with his physician to make sure everything is fine before things start falling off on the man.
Paul Perillo.
Wow. You know, it says here that by the time the average American is 50, he's got 5 pounds of undigested red meat in his bowels.
Why are you telling me this? What makes you think I have any interest in that at all?
Well, you eat a lot of red meat.
And Andy. And Andy?
Jesus.
Andy Hart.
How you doing?
Some guy named Tom.
Just a man who wrecked the buffet at Harrow Club this morning.
Lower your voice, for Christ's sake.
What, can a guy hear me through the wall?
Yes, he can.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
We're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
It should be more natural, brother. It should flow out like this. Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.
PFW in progress.
I had to go to the bathroom. I was walking by. It looked like a nice, clean place, so I stopped.
So that's good. Tom, I'm worried, though. You're just down.
Don't worry. I'll make it.
Yeah? Anything you want to share with the listeners?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, because, you know, it's an open book here.
Yeah, I know.
You know, our lives are an open book with our listeners.
I understand that.
Okay? All right. What was I going to say? Belichick had his press conference today, very informal. A lot of offensive line talk, you know? Nothing really interesting.
No, nothing. It was kind of a boring one.
Yeah. What about the locker room? What was going on in the locker room today?
Well, at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, whenever it's open, I'm sure they'll let you know.
That's right. On Fridays they changed it up on us.
This is only the third time you've made that mistake. So by November you'll get it down.
Old habits are hard to kick. 1:30, I guess, is open locker room.
1:30, yeah.
So, okay, so we'll have to wait for that, and there'll be an update on Patriots.com later today. The final injury report will come out at around 4 o'clock or so, but the news out of Miami right now is that Culpepper's shoulder is a little bit sore,
yeah,
and now he's been added to the report as questionable,
mm-hmm.
Not just probable, questionable. Is this Nick Saban kind of playing the same kind of game that other teams play with the injury report, or is it possible, or are they setting up for a built-in excuse in case Culpepper doesn't do well early? They can pull him in the game, save a little face for the veteran, saying that it's his shoulder, bring in Joey Harrington maybe for a little boost.
I don't know how much face they have to save. I mean, it's obvious. If you're not performing well, you got to make a switch, and if Culpepper doesn't play any better than he has been, I don't really think you have to save face, so I don't think it's that. I think he may have.
Yeah, but the thing is, if it's not an injury and you take him out, how do you put him back in the next week or the week after? That's the thing. So
maybe you don't.
Well, I know maybe you don't, but maybe you do, because if Joey Harrington doesn't come in, it doesn't do any better.
I think you got to go up to him and say, listen, you know, Dante, we've given you 5 games now, and we need to change it up on offense.
My point is, I think. You know, if this whole thing is true, I think they've said that to him. But as far as the public goes, you know,
They could be just playing. My guess is that his shoulder is bothering him a little bit. And I think there's a pretty good chance, no matter what happens on Sunday, that Joey Harrington will make his first appearance as Miami Dolphin. Yeah.
I think that.
Whether he gets injured or whether he's underachieving, I think at some point Harrington will be in that game.
Because of performance, or just because the Patriots are just pressuring the heck out of Culpepper?
Yeah, I mean, if it goes the way we think it's going to. You know, now, hey, maybe Culpepper comes out and throws 2 touchdown passes early and looks good. But if he keeps playing the way he's been playing and the Patriots' defense keeps playing the way they've been playing, I think at some point those two things collide and they have to switch it up.
Have you any second thoughts about, you know, you said 24-13, know, about that type of score. Any doubts now? Any second thoughts? Do you think anything you've heard out of Miami makes you think it'll be a closer game, or it'll be more of a blowout by the Patriots?
No, I think it'll be right around there. I think it'll be one of those games where the Patriots have control, but they don't win by 30. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those games where they're always in control of the game. You don't feel like they're going to lose the game. Maybe they're up 21-13 late and they tack on the field goal to put it out of reach, something like that. But I think they'll have pretty much control from start to finish.
Okay.
Just because I think both their lines are too much for the Dolphins.
Yeah,
I think that's where the mismatch lies. So even if you put Harrington in there, I don't know if it's going to make a huge difference unless the line starts blocking better.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I think that could happen in the Dolphins' favor is it's like the Buffalo game where something happens early.
Yeah.
Patriots do a screw-up, you know, strip sack, interception, something, you know, kickoff fumble,
right.
Something like that that puts Miami ahead early, and everyone gets all jacked up on their defense, and it gets, like you know, said, bogged down perhaps for the Patriots
right.
offense. But I doubt that that's going to happen. And barring that, I think it will be.
It'd be one thing if Miami was, like, running the ball well and their passing game was struggling, but their offensive line's playing bad in both areas. You know, they're not opening any holes for Ronnie Brown. So it's not even like you could say, well, maybe, like last week we did with the Patriots, maybe they can run the ball a little bit and throw some short passes and keep the ball away from the Patriots and, you know, play that kind of game. I don't even know if they can do that, because I think if they run the ball on first down, it's going to be second and nine. And when you put the Dolphins in that situation so far this season, they've been terrible. So unless they can get the running game going, I just don't think they have much of a chance to beat any team. And that proved at home against Tennessee in their only win. Tennessee is, you know, one of the two or three worst teams in the league. They barely won, and they went and played the other one or two, three worst teams in the league and got beat on the road.
Yeah.
So I know it's week to week, as we found out last week in Cincinnati. Everything changes, you know, like Bill says. It's on Sunday how the Patriots play and how the Dolphins play will decide the winner.
Right.
So maybe the Dolphins have a game where they come out and everything comes together. Like you said, you were listening, you know, earlier in the week where it all comes together.
Right.
But it's just going to be hard against a stout defense like this, where the only real weaknesses is big plays down the field, and Miami hasn't made any of those. So
right.
Why would we think they're going to make them this Sunday?
Right. Well, the one of the reviews came out for our TV show, and Paul Perillo is the star of the
review
show.
Wasn't good.
Dave Scott, who writes a blog on Boston Sports Media, said the show was terrible, except for Paul Perillo.
I'm right. Stunned.
I heard you have to be very talented to write a blog from your house.
All right.
I love these losers who have no life, who just write blogs about other people.
Well,
but it's his opinion. He's entitled to it.
It's good for Paul, though. I mean, Paul is a rising star.
Yeah, well, maybe Paul can do the show by himself next week.
Well, you don't like that. You were offended by that?
Huh?
You were offended by
that?
Well,
I didn't care for it. If you're going to slam the show, then slam it. But then don't say, well, Paul Perillo was the one bright spot. Paul said two things during that show. Seriously.
Maybe that was a good thing for him.
But I'm just saying, it wasn't one of Paul's shows where he's talking, you know,
right.
He only said a couple of things because Andy was too busy rambling the whole time. So I just think that was an ass-kissing job. That's what I think it is.
That's why we love the sheriff.
Speaking of that, the guy who wrote the blog can kiss my ass.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We should probably get to the emails because God knows what's going to happen when Felger
yeah.
comes here.
I'm sure. Now, are we setting up the steel cage this week for you two, or is it?
I have no problem with Mike Felger. He's okay.
He does say things just to say them, though.
Yeah,
like
sure
the China thing.
Yeah.
I told you after we got off the show last week, he mentioned like a little thing about China, and you kind of got going, and then he saw you getting going, and,
right.
and he attacked it.
Right.
And I don't even think he believes it.
That's okay. Yeah, I have no problem with
that. An emailer sent in something interesting after that, after we were talking about that. You know, if the China thing was such a big distraction, why did it distract the Seahawks
right.
who were
right.
up
score like
31
right.
nothing against the Giants?
Exactly.
No disrespect to the Orientals.
Right, you got that right, Bill. Okay, let's see. Let's get to some emails, I guess. Yes, I know I have new mail. I get this thing that pops up every time I get mail here. This is from Shannon from Seattle, and we didn't know if he was a guy or a girl last week, and he cleared it up. But he said, no worries about referring to me as a she. Trust me, I've heard my share of that going through grade school and high school. I especially have no problem with it when I'm walking around with a 5'3 blonde, 115 pounds, 36 double D, extra cute girlfriend who I've converted into a Patriots fan. No more sea chicken games for her, lucky girl. There is a
line your ass off.
There is a use for former player's jersey. She tools around in a faded blue Bledsoe jersey circa 1993. Those are some pretty good stats.
Yeah.
Yeah, 115, 36 double D.
Sounds a little insecure.
Well, sounds like we're going to get some...
5'3", 36 double D. Liar.
Maybe we'll
see... You don't see too many of those.
Maybe we'll see some pictures circulating around the internet.
Yeah.
Anyway, he says, Andy had mentioned what the chatter in Seattle was concerning Ashworth and Branch. In Ashworth's case, he is a backup to Pro Bowler Walter Jones and is basically just filling out a uniform. Seattle people always talk a ton about not having Steve Hutchinson around and how the running game has been affected, with not one word about Ashworth. He is just another expatriate who has won his rings, collected a big paycheck to play somewhere else, and sits around every night rolling around in their cash like a pig in mud.
There's nothing wrong with that.
While shining their Super Bowl rings. To tell you the truth, I had forgotten he was even a sea chicken. As for Branch, he is fitting in well. He says all of the right things, is kissing all of the babies, and waving his hand around like he's the friggin' queen. The fans here have thought that once the trade was made, it guaranteed their Super Bowl victory. I always like watching Branch, and I'm sure he'll be a good sea chicken, but there's no way he gets over 900 yards or 4 TDs a year here in Seattle.
Make sure you keep writing sea chicken.
It's rather humorous that a lot of fans out here were already making plans for a trip to Miami in February, and then the sea chickens got their ass handed to them by Chicago. Now, their beloved chickens are now only playoff caliber and would only win their division. Remind you of anyone? Yep. Sounded like the Patriots fans after the Bronco loss. Funny how a week changes everything. I wonder if there are any sea chickens fans yelling, you suck Hasselback at the TV. It's also funny when sea chickens come over to my house on Sunday.
You're a loser!
To watch the game when, oops, that's right, the Pats are on and this is a Patriots house. I love the NFL ticket. One question, who will be the offensive and defensive star from this Sunday's game against the hated Fish, in your opinion? My prediction, Patriots 24, Fish 10. So, offensive and defensive star this week for the Patriots.
I'm going to say Brady on offense. I think he'll have his best game.
Well, he never has a very good game against the
offense. I know. I just, you know, I'm playing the odds. I think he showed a little bit of improvement last week. I think they won't be able to run the ball all the time on Miami like they did the Bengals.
Right.
And he might, I don't say he's going to throw for 370 yards, maybe like a 220-yard game where his efficiency is good. He's got a couple of touchdown passes.
Right.
And on defense, I'm going to say Richard Seymour. Even though I said that he disappeared a little bit against Denver, I think this is the game where he dominates the line of scrimmage and takes over maybe two sacks.
That's a good pick on defense, but I'm going to go with Watson. I think he's going to have a big game this week for once. Not that he had a terrible game last week. He had four catches, I think. But I think he's really going to have a big game this week. And I'm going to go with Teddy Bruschi. I think he's due. I think he'll have a very active game.
Other than that interception, I don't remember hearing his name called much this year
either. Yeah, so I think he's going to have a big game. All right. Let's see. Richard in Falls Church, Virginia. Or is it Richard Falls in Church, Virginia? I don't know. He says, Gostkowski isn't really here to be Adam. And rookies do make misses. Look back to the last few drafts. Nugent and Kading are guys I'm looking at. Both seem to be developing into respectable NFL kickers, but both had some cringe-worthy misses early on. The kid was drafted that high for a reason. He'll stick around so long as he doesn't continue to F up. Oh, and in regards to Phuket, it's absolutely stunning there. Do research and try not to drool. If you want to go also, if you can, also go to Phi-Phi Island. I think it is pronounced Phi-Phi Island. It was a while back, used to get my dental work done in Bangkok in high school. So I guess the women in Phuket are pretty good looking.
That's good.
Bucket Thailand.
It's actually pronounced Phuket.
So I have a friend who works for an engineering company out there, and he says it's pretty amazing.
You know, I can imagine.
Pretty amazing.
Fred, am I okay to play that soundbite?
I don't think so. I mean, why? Why are you asking me?
You're the boss.
I'm not the boss. The FCC is the boss, right?
You can say the F word on the radio.
Yeah, you can. Well, no, you can't say it on the radio.
Yeah, you can.
When?
That came out. Do we have to keep going over this? You have a problem of retaining information or something? This is like the fifth time we've gone over this. The FCC said that you can say it over the radio, but it's up to the station's discretion if they want you to say it. Obviously.
So then how do they hand out fines? FCC hands out fines.
This was a new ruling like a couple of years ago.
Oh, no, I don't think so, Tom. Because Howard Stern gets fined all the time for obscene language when he was on terrestrial radio.
It's actually pronounced.
Now that he's on satellite, they can do anything they want because it's a subscription.
I'm telling you, we should look it up then, because I'm almost positive they came out with something that says he gets probably fined by the station.
No. He gets fined by the FCC. FCC.
We'll have to check it out.
I guarantee you that. Okay. As you know, or if you're a frequent listener, you know that our picks are done on Thursday, and we changed it up a little bit. We're starting to not only just pick the winner, but we're picking it against the handicapped odds as available by the Boston Herald. And one of our emailers made an offer to Tom that if Tom gave him a lead pipe pick, he would reward him with an iPod. So, Tom, you gave the pick. Was it Seattle?
No, Seattle's on a bye. It was Carolina.
Carolina.
Carolina -8 over Cleveland.
Okay. And so this person has emailed us.
Oh, okay.
And it's James from Dyer, Indiana. He says, I'm the guy you made the deal with for the iPod, Tom. You will get your iPod if it comes through. I will be taking the Panthers big. I hope you're a man of your word. And by the way, I'm only down 2,000, not 3,000. So stop calling me a degenerate gambler. Hope you're right, even though I really want the Harrison football. Thanks, and keep up the great work. P.S., if you want to send me your address now, I will make sure you have your iPod on Tuesday. You better give me props on the show for coming through.
Okay, what's his name, James?
James.
Well, first of all, James, you're never getting my address ever, because who's to say that you won't come and chop me up into little bitty pieces if the game loses? Second of all, you are Dyer. That's an appropriate place for you to live, and you should stop gambling, because my father did it for 30 years, and I did it over 10, and I'm telling you, unless you're one of the professionals who lives in Las Vegas, those are the only people who make money gambling, the only ones. You cannot win, so stop doing it. Hopefully this pick comes through.
It's like an after-school special.
I'm just saying, you know what he's going to do? He's going to get even. He's going to send me the iPod, then he's going to be down $2,000 again in a couple of weeks and ask me, he's going to send me like a car if I give him another pick.
So let's just hope that he wins, you get your iPod, and then he quits forever, right?
That's the best scenario.
Okay.
And you know, it's not even about the iPod. I just hope he doesn't get into too much trouble, because listen, James, I got a lot of pressure on me now. And I got to be honest with you. I'm not good under pressure. I'm really not. You're going to have me more interested in that game than the Patriots game on Sunday. I'll be on the internet all day checking the score.
But just so James knows, if things don't work out, he will get his Harrison football.
Yes.
Okay. That's not going to be easy either, going up to Rodney and begging for that.
Yeah, I know. Well, Paul's going to have to find a way.
So we got a little interesting thing going on here on Sunday, and that'd be great. If you got an iPod, you'd finally get to use
just
an iPod.
Just know that with my luck, just know with my luck, James, so don't get nervous, the first score will be 7-0 Cleveland. No matter what happens, they may win the game 58-7, but Cleveland will score the first touchdown. I can guarantee you that. Just
so
to
you
make
start
me
sweating.
Just to make me nervous.
Okay. Loretta is from Lebanon, New Jersey. And she says, the Patriots are such a class act, I can't imagine the motivation to buy problem players other than the discounted salary such a desperate player might be willing to play for. I fantasize that I am Bill Belichick. So what will I do first? Look at the tapes and stats of these problem players. Look at Haynesworth, history of problems. Look at what he did last Sunday and what is costing the team. months of preparation blown on a momentary lapse of self-control. Now the team doesn't have his efforts, even at a bargain price. Look at T.O. Thank God nothing serious happened. But again, if he were unable to play, what would they have lost? Not that he's a criminal, just problematically colorful. The guy you mentioned is being followed. I guess this is based on something else. The guy you mentioned is being followed to finish the season, but what if he avoids parole or gets caught again and he's suspended? I guess Corin Robinson?
Yeah.
Yeah. You lose what you spent time and money investing in a problem rather than investing in quality young character. Bill Belichick not only doesn't need this, his extraordinary successful team has been built on the strategy of avoiding problem players at all costs. I think the results speak for themselves. Okay. Would you take T.O. if he was available?
No.
Would you take Randy Moss if he was available?
No.
No? Even no. Randy Moss?
No, because he's almost as bad. He's just not mentally ill like T.O. is, which makes him maybe even worse, because I don't think T.O. can help it at times. I think Randy Moss is just a jerk.
Okay. Rodney is from Robersonville, North Carolina. He has some news on former Patriot Dave Meggett.
But his whole place sucks.
Okay.
Remember Dave
Meggett? I heard something about this.
He says, I wanted to pass on this news to old school Patriots fans that remember David Meggett during the Super Bowl 31 era. He has once again found himself on the wrong side of the law. Allegedly, he has raped an ex-girlfriend from a couple years back. I can remember when there was a problem with him and a prostitute in Toronto during his playing days. He was the Parks and Recreation Director of the town I live in Robersonville. I remember him being a vital part in the special teams of 96 and a major reason in our second AFC championship. Anyway, below is the link, and he gives us a link.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's, the guy's got problems. You know, that's too bad, because one-on-one, I always had a good interaction with the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he never tried to rape me or anything. But
well, thank God for that.
Yeah, he obviously has problems, and he needs to get some help if that's the case. Okay, PJ writes in. He says, I know Friday is usually a slow email day, so I figured I would throw this in real quick. I'm coming up to Gillette for the Colts game. The best I could do was standing room only. Are there different standing room only areas in the stadium? If so, which one has the best view? I can't wait for the game, as this will be my first game at Gillette Stadium. Oh, by the way, my only game at Foxborough was the Sunday night game against the Rams in 01, which was the last game the Pats ever lost in Foxborough Stadium. I hope I'm not a jinx.
Well, if he is, he can come and sit next to me.
Gary, do you know anything about the standing room only? Is he gone?
What about it?
Where they sit, where they stand. Well, they don't sit. Where they stand.
I think you can on the ramps and on the bridge.
And I think they go on the south side too, right?
Right, down by the banners.
Yeah, I mean the bridge would be a good place. Or both of them are end zone basically areas, but. You know, I would think on the ramps on the south side, you'll have less people asking you to move, because the bridge on the north side kind of is a pedestrian way. So, but
well, that sounds like an awful way to watch a football game.
Hey, you're in the building. You know,
I'd rather be in my house.
Well, you're in the building.
You can also go down field level underneath the bridge.
Oh yeah, oh by that gate there. Yeah, but I wouldn't think that would be that good. You know, you want to be up a little higher than the field so you can see the play. Okay. Got a lot of emails coming in. Want to thank you for that. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com.
More importantly, how are we getting those subs?
They're supposed to bring them down.
Oh, okay.
Getting subs from a mate. Gary, you sure you didn't want anything? I asked Gary.
Fred, getting us lunch. Thanks, Fred. Even though I owe Fred lunch, so I have to get you lunch.
We'll have Gridiron Grillers for Patriots Friday.
Gridiron Grillers for Patriots Friday. Oh, later? Oh, why did I just get lunch? All right, anyway, you're going to have the hot dogs?
Yeah, I'm going to save some for you.
Well, no, I'm going to have a sub coming for me. I got a veal parm sub coming, so I don't need a hot dog. If I had known we were going to have Gridiron Grillers, I would have just...
Well, not till probably 4:30, 4
o'clock. Oh, later. Oh, no.
Not for us.
I'm all set. I'm all set with that. Let's see. Phil writes in. You guys were talking about Shakira?
I'm sure that was Andy and Paul.
Oh, he says, Shakira's hips don't lie. She's hot. He's from Connecticut, but that was just a P.S. He says, great podcast, he says. I download it every day and listen to you on my way to work. Here are my observations. Since the season began, I've been checking in on those players we've lost. Now I know we're making a lot of money. It's only been four games, but is it looking like their success was more a factor of the Patriots system, or is it me? Branch, 5 catches, 80 yards, no touchdowns, 2 games. Givens, 8 catches, 104 yards, no touchdowns, 4 games. Vinatieri, 2 games, 7 for 7 field goals, not too bad, I guess, 2 games missed. McGinnis, 3 games, 1 missed, 8 tackles, 1 assist, 1 sack. Ty Law, 3 games, 12 tackles, 1 INT.
Well, let's break this down. McGinnis was getting older. He's towards the end of his career. I mean, he just, you know, the Browns wanted to give him, he cashed in on one more contract. That's, you know, I don't even know if the Patriots, how hard they were trying to get him back. So,
well, I'll tell you, though, McGinnis is what did benefit from Bill Belichick coming to this team.
No, I know, but I'm saying he's towards the end of his
career.
Absolutely. So that's not a big difference.
Right.
Givens, we always thought was a product of the system, but it's hard to really blame him what's going on in Tennessee
because of the
mess that they got over there. And, you know, and Givens, you got to remember, Givens was a seventh-round draft pick. He wasn't a first-round draft pick.
Right.
He's got one shot in his life to cash in. He probably knows he's not a 90-catch receiver type of guy, but if the Titans want to pay him like he is, fine. Branch, it's way too early. He's learning a new offense, blah, blah, blah.
Not fair.
Vinatieri has done more than fine.
And it doesn't take a system. The system has nothing to do with the field goal kicker. So it's not fair to say that. So I agree with everything you said. And Ty Law is a good cornerback.
And like McGinnis, he's getting up there a little bit.
With these guys, I'm not going to play into that, Phil. It's just not fair to say that. I will say this, though. There's no doubt with probably all of these guys, their current contracts, they have a lot to thank to winning Super Bowls. Their value, you know, when you come off a Super Bowl team from a well-coached, your value gets inflated, and these guys all benefited from that. But I don't think that, you know, it's their fault or anything like that.
But the one guy on the list, Ty Law, would have been great no matter where. He was a premier player, and now he's just older, so there's a difference. But I don't think system has anything to do with Ty Law.
Right. But I think that all these guys, maybe they are making a little bit more than they should, but that's what happens when you come off a Super Bowl.
Or in Ashworth's case, a lot more.
Yeah. If you look deeper into players like Patton and Fourier, two of my favorites, the stats get even worse. I know the Patriots did not get better by letting these players go, but my point is more that I can't understand why they would trade greatness for an extra couple of million. Teams like the Browns, Titans, and Chiefs clearly were at least 2 years out from competing when they signed. I'm puzzled. I know this is coming from someone who doesn't make a fraction of what a professional athlete does. Your thoughts? Well, these guys already got their rings.
Yeah.
Now they're going for the long-term, you know, security.
But, Fred, the other thing is I don't think fans, I don't know if they don't understand it or they just don't think of it. Not the team probably didn't want all these players back anyway.
Right.
They make it seem like all the players are just leaving. Some of these players the team probably didn't want. So, I mean,
Fourier. McGinnis. These guys, I don't think the Patriots really made that much of a move to try to keep them.
No, I mean, obviously they wanted Deion Branch back. That was an ugly situation.
Right.
Okay, whatever happened between them and Vinatieri, something kind of split there at some point. You know, I'm sure they wanted Givens a much less of a price. But other than that, the other guys, Tom Ashworth, he was replaced by Brandon Gorin at the end of the season, and they got rid of him too.
Right.
Oh, the best line I heard though on ESPN, this shows how little ESPN actually knows about football. They said, the one good thing about Matt Leinart is he's left-handed, so Leonard Davis won't be protecting his blind side anymore, and he's been struggling this year. Well, guess who is protecting his blind side? Brandon Gorin. So good luck with that, Matt.
Mike is from Thomas Gay, Florida.
Yeah, he keeps writing in as Thomas Gay.
Is that the name of...
No, that's, I guess, for me. He doesn't... I think it's Joey Feep. I think it's just an alias, because we know Feep still listens to this show.
Well, I don't know. Mike Moretti. You know.
Mike's been around for a while.
Yeah.
How is he?
You guys have talked a little about Jackson's head issues. Please elaborate as much as possible. And if he is a nutcase, why the hell is he on the team? They must have done their homework before drafting him. Also, was he considered head and shoulders above Greg Jennings coming out? Spill your guts. Well, the thing about Jackson is a lot of what we're talking about is based on an incident at the kickoff gala where he acted kind of like a fool, like he owned the place, and that's not what rookies do. You know, I'm sure some of the players, based on the kind of faces they were making when this was happening, didn't like it, and they probably talked to him. Then we add that to the fact that he missed a lot of camp, missed games because of an apparent hamstring. And we're kind of speculating maybe it's more than a hamstring. We don't know. We really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We do know that the front office has basically said it really has nothing to do with him not knowing the playbook.
Right.
So that's ruled out. So it's either it's just simply because of the hamstring he's missed games or, you know, because of behavior problems. We don't know. But all we know is that one night he kind of acted the fool.
Right, exactly.
So
that's the
so that's all we know.
After that night, he hasn't really been talking a lot.
Right.
And obviously they've done something with him. You know, but just to kind of compare him, you know, Lawrence Maroney's always laughing and joking around. And, you know, he seemed to kind of fit in as soon as he got here. Where Jackson, maybe because he, you know, he played at Florida or something, he seemed like he thought he was already a Pro Bowl caliber receiver before he even stepped on the field, and I think they had to rein him in a little bit and say, you know, calm down. You haven't even played any football yet. Do it on the field first. And I would have to say I think he's getting the message. I haven't seen him do anything really wrong or bad in the last month or so. So I don't think – and as far as Greg Jennings goes, he was considered a second- to third-round pick, where Jackson was considered like a mid- to late first who actually slipped into the second. So there wasn't a huge difference, but I think virtually everybody had Jackson rated ahead of him.
All right. Let's see. Next emailer is – who is it? You gotta say who you are. Anyway, says, hey, guys, thanks for using the spreads when making your picks. It's always good to get other people's opinions on the games. But very few sources take the spreads into consideration. So now I can pick opposite Fred and expect a better result. Plus, with Tom Tout Casale's extensive research, there's no way you can lose. Good luck on that video iPod. As usual, great show. One question. Do the Bears have an easy schedule, or is it just me? Besides the Pats, who else will threaten them on that cupcake of a schedule?
Well, you can't make fun of the Bears, or you have to make fun of the Pats.
Right.
They're playing basically the same schedule except for like three teams. I mean, obviously maybe the Pats three teams are tougher than the Bears because the AFC has better teams, but they're playing the NFC North, they're playing the AFC East. So,
right.
And hey, let's be honest. They went into Minnesota, which is a tough place to play. They won there. They played the defending NFC champions and destroyed them at home. So stop trying to find faults in other good teams, because as of right now, the Bears are playing as good as you can possibly play.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. I picked them to do well this year, so I'm happy. Dave O from Cambridge. I'm probably on an island with this pick, but I think the biggest upset of the week is going to be Buffalo over Chicago in a close defensive match.
I can see that. I could definitely see the Chicago kind of coming down a little bit, and Buffalo bogs them down, like you like to say, and is one of those 13-10 games.
I never get overly impressed with the success of an NFC team until they play a halfway decent AFC team. I'm not saying Buffalo is an elite AFC team, but I think their defense could give the Bears some problems. See, it's catching on. If they take this game too lightly, I'm predicting Buffalo 13-10 in overtime.
I just said that. 13-10. Yeah, that's how I would see it. And he's right, though, because last year the Bears had this, you know, this great defense. And then what happened? The Steelers came to town and just ran over them like they weren't even there. So I do agree with that. In the NFC, when I say the Bears are a good team, I mean in the NFC. They have to beat the Patriots in New England for me to take them seriously. You know, if they come in here and get beat by a couple of touchdowns like they did with the Steelers last year, then I say same thing. You know, they're a good NFC team. Let's see them beat a good AFC team first.
On a totally different subject, am I the only one who gets really annoyed with the Indianapolis play-by-play guy referring to the Colts players by their first names? Nothing drives me more crazy than a guy with his whiny voice yelling, Peyton fades back and finds Marvin for a 20-yard gain. You would never, ever hear Gil Santo saying, Tommy hits Troy in the end zone for a touchdown. This is football, damn it.
Anthony!
Boy, this guy must not like Albert Breer.
How about Troop?
We got a couple of...
No way, Jose! Thank you, Robert.
Hey, there's the Ford R Jeep on TV, Tom.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
You don't like that?
Go with the other one.
I was thinking of a four-door Jeep.
Yeah.
My Jeep has 160,000 miles on it.
So time for a change, Fred.
Time for something. Change, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. A couple emails from upstairs.
Okay.
We're talking about our review. He says, this is Andy. He says, I agree with Tom on the Scott thing. Get a job, you shanty living loser. And Paul writes.
Oh, no. Paul was listening.
Paul writes, obviously this Scott guy understands what works and what doesn't as far as putting together a football show. So we have two different opinions on that.
Well, it's like I said, you know, I think next week we should have like a little table. We'll have Chris Collins and Paul sitting there with like coffee, and they can go over and, you know, Paul can explain how he invented the game and all that kind of stuff.
We're going to start calling Paul Brown.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's it. We'll start calling him Paul Brown. All right. Gary, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. We live these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
Gonna be shot, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my.
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
All right, Fred Kirsch, Tom Fasali here until 2 o'clock with PFW in Progress, taking your emails, webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482, and we're waiting for our subs from Pop Perillo, otherwise known as Paul Brown.
I like Pop Perillo.
Pop Perillo.
Yeah. Start calling them Pops.
Oh, dear. All right, we just have fun with Paul. Craig is from South Carolina. He says, big plays which have hurt our secondary will not occur Sunday against the usually tough Dolphins. Culpepper will have one of his worst games of the season. Ronnie Brown cannot beat us by himself. Bill will gear up the pass rush to put a ton of pressure on Dante. Miami does have some very good receivers and tight end. Miami's offensive line is horrible. The Pats will get no less than 7 sacks and force at least 2 Culpepper fumbles. Pep is very bruised and battered, not just from 21 sacks, but also getting pasted on nearly every pass play. Jackson and Watson will have great games. We will probably finish with about 150 yards rushing and 200-plus passing. Belichick will have the ghost attempt numerous field goals, playing fourth down conservatively, knowing the Finns will be totally shut down. The ghost will make all 3. Pats 30, Dolphins 10. Congrats to Green and Maroney from their for their Player of the Week honors.
Well, the only thing I disagree there is that Belichick will play for field goals just to get his field goal kicker out there.
Well, just knowing that they won't be able to do anything.
That's not how he coaches. He coaches to win, and winning means scoring touchdowns. Now, if you're saying late in the game it's 27-3 and it's 3rd and 8, maybe he runs a draw to get Gostkowski, you know what I'm saying? But I don't think in the first quarter he's going to say, well, I don't think the Finns are going to do anything today. Let's play for a field goal. I just don't think he'll do that.
No, I agree with that. I forget what I was going to say. Anyway.
I'm sure it wasn't important.
Yeah. Let's see. Jeff from Moncton, New Brunswick. He says, I keep seeing Andy Katzenmoyer jerseys on eBay and can't remember much about him. Was he a draft bust?
Yes.
Yes, he was. He obviously got drafted by the Patriots, had a neck injury.
Head of Al Wilson.
Yeah.
Which I thought at the time was a... I've never been a Katzenmoyer fan. I thought he was one of those guys. See, in college, you can get built up. Like if you have like a good name and you're a somewhat decent player who was a huge recruit, and I thought he was built up by the media and the Ohio State fans way too much. At the time, I can't remember the other guy who was there, but I didn't even think he was best linebacker on Ohio State. So even though he did have the neck injury, I don't think he was ever going to be that dominant linebacker that some people thought he was.
Yeah, I mean he was touted as this guy, this football player, prototypical middle linebacker. Sideline to sideline guy. But it turns out he really didn't want to play football. He really didn't want to play. I don't know what he's doing right now, but after the neck injury, he never really kind of attempted to come back.
No.
He just kind of gave it up. So, it's too bad. But like you said, Al Wilson was there, and God, mm-hmm. I mean, if you could go back and, correct that. Man, Al Wilson is a player.
Yeah, I just remember at the time watching Tennessee, and he'd be all over the place. And, like, the highlight, if you watch, like, Ohio State highlights, they would show you, like, an interception that someone threw right at Katzenmoyer, or him picking up a fumble that was just lying on the ground. And I was like, these things don't impress me. You know, I like my linebackers to be active, to be tackling all over the place. And he never really did that, I thought.
Yeah, that was during that whole era of drafting that the Patriots had that
didn't go well.
Just awful. Oh, my God. Craig also says, I heard...
Chris Canty's a smart kid.
Yeah. Not a good cornerback, though, unfortunately. Craig says, I heard your picks yesterday. I don't recall who picked the Jets or by how much, but based on the injury report, it would seem the Jets have a good shot. The Jags are playing without Wiley and Stroud, as well as numerous others. The Jags' strength is shutting down the run. The Jets weren't going to be able to run anyway, but running away from Henderson for the bulk of their attempts might be wise. I think the Jets will win a squeaker 17-13. I would love to see the Jets lose to increase our lead in our division, but they won't. Belichick will use the "we only lead the division by one game" speak to keep the team from becoming complacent heading into Buffalo after the bye.
Well, I certainly wouldn't be surprised if the Jets won. It's just Jacksonville's a totally different team at home than they are on the road.
But,
they do have...
Stroud is out.
Stroud, yeah. Matt Jones, and who else? There's another pretty prominent player. They have 3.
Wiley,
yeah, yeah. that are going to be...
Is that Marcellus Wiley?
Yeah, he's garbage anyway.
Yeah, but he never really...
No, he sucks.
Yeah.
But Stroud and Matt Jones are the 2 big ones. It's just that at home, Jacksonville can kind of put that stranglehold on you defensively. And I'm afraid with the Jets not being able to run the ball at all, they can just focus on stopping the pass. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets pulled off the upset. They're one of those teams that
just
is going to
go
fight
away.
You every
yeah.
week.
Yeah. I call them the New York Cockroaches. You can't get rid of them.
Yeah, every time you think they're dead, more of them show up.
I think that if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best.
webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com.
Making those subs by hand, like starting with fresh bread.
I ordered a veal parm. Maybe they're pounding the veal in the back room. I don't know. 508-543-7482.
Is that what you call it?
That's what they call it nowadays. Yeah. 508-543-7482. webradio@patriots.com. We're all looking forward to a big game here Sunday, 1 o'clock. That's good for us, though,
yeah.
Because we've got no preview in the issue.
Right.
And, you know, because of the bye. So we could get out of here by 10 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
9 o'clock. That'd be good.
I can get home watch that Eagles-Cowboys
game.
Now,
you're taping it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tape it. Not try my best not to find out what happened and go home and watch it.
Yeah,
that's just one of those games that has that playoff Super Bowl kind of atmosphere. Plus, I just want to see like what happens. I mean, they got extra I mean, did you hear that double the security?
Well, I guess the pregame show and all that they're worrying about because they do the pregame show
right
there in the. You know, the worry about signs in the background, you know, vulgar signs.
Right.
So they're taking all kinds of precautions.
I'm just as interested in the surroundings of the game as I am the game itself because I just got a feeling someone's going to do something stupid.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. Jeremy is from San Jose, California. I'm a relatively new listener. Welcome aboard. I've been behind.
Hi, Jeremy. I got to cut you short here.
I've been behind the technology curve and only recently have learned to utilize the internet. That being said, I just started listening to your show 2 weeks ago, and I'm hooked. My wife is going nuts. I really like what I see from the Pats D. There is a solid veteran leadership in all phases of the defense. However, their age is a concern over the next 3-4 seasons. Do you think that the Pats will be going after young DBs and linebackers in next year's draft or wide receivers? I like both the O-line and D-line because they have depth and youth. Do you think they will try to get some young D talent next year so that the veterans can help groom them into Patriot-caliber talent? Absolutely.
Well, yeah, but as Bill says, and he said again today, you don't know what's going to happen in the draft. They go by their draft board. And he said, you know, we're not going to draft a quarterback in the first round because we have Tom Brady. So that just wouldn't be good football management, as he said today. And so we know they're not going to do that, but they pretty much go by, you know, a system of their board and whoever they have ranked. And,
but I think the emailer has a point, though, as you know, particularly in the linebacking.
You got to get some linebackers.
You have to look at some
youth. If they don't get linebackers next year, then I'm going to have to ask in a press conference. I'm going to have to ask Bill what his plan is.
Right.
Because I just don't. You have to, at some point, you need younger linebackers.
Whether
to groom.
It's from free agency or, you know, restricted free agency.
Right. I don't care where you
got to look at some, you know, getting some speed and some youth on that linebacker.
Definitely speed, because they're going to struggle. If they can't score against some of the better teams, they're going to struggle across the middle, because as you noted in that Broncos game, they were just a lot faster.
Yeah.
And the Patriots aren't a fast football team. So that could be a problem moving forward against some of the better teams if their offense is shut down, the Patriots' offense, I mean, and they're one of those defensive games that maybe a couple of big plays are made because of their lack of speed. Because, I mean, let's face it, Brewski's getting older, Seau is ancient.
Yeah, Vrabel's in his 30.
Yeah, they're good near the line of scrimmage and stuff, but once you get them in open space, they do look slow.
Yeah, and I don't think we can count on Seau.
No, no.
He didn't play much last week.
No, I think he was injured.
Oh, really?
Yeah, early in the game, I think he was injured. Then he didn't come back.
Okay, is he on the injury report?
No, he's not. So he'll be fine.
Maybe he got a concussed head, or something like that.
Yeah, he didn't play much. That's for sure.
Will in Omaha, that's Maine, or he's from Maine, and now he's in Omaha.
Okay.
Because there's all kinds of weird towns in Maine. There's like a Berlin, Maine. There's a London, Maine, I think. So you know, there could be an Omaha, Maine. I don't know. What, Gary? Oh, no, he's not looking at it. He says, what do you think about the Bills' future? I don't want to imply that Losman is the next Brady, but if you think about it, they are in a similar position the Pats were in before they started their Super Bowl runs. They have a young quarterback who's getting better. Like I said, he's no Brady, but it seems like he really stepped up this year. They have a veteran defense that is just plain nasty. Telling you, this defense thing's catching on.
Yeah. I'll read my feature in PFW this week.
Okay. And they have a solid running game with McGahee. The only thing they are lacking, really, is the same level of coaching that Belichick provides. I don't think they'll threaten this season or even next, given that they have to play the Pats twice a year. But do you think we could be seeing a changing of the guard in a few seasons? By the way, my wife is from Buffalo, so if this is the case, it could spell the end of my marriage.
Well, I did an AFC East like breakdown after the quarter, you know, the first quarter of the season.
Yep.
And my thing for Buffalo was, I think they're a surprise. They've won two games. Some people didn't think they'd win two games all year. I think they'll fade late this season because they're young. They're starting a bunch of young guys on defense. But I said if they can keep the running game going and they can keep their defensive, like the Spikes and Clements and those guys, with the young guys they've added, next year, if Lausman can play that kind of I don't lose the game situation at quarterback, they could be tough.
Yeah, they could.
They have
be.
A lot of young guys on that team.
Yeah, I mean, it does key. What was that? What did he do?
I don't know.
Take a break.
Oh, okay. Just before we do, I'm just going to say that, they've got some good wide receivers, but it all does key in on Lozman's development.
Yeah.
How good can he get?
And the defense, see, it's going to have those games where it has trouble because they're young. You know, you're going to have blown assignments.
Right.
But those guys are playing now, so they're setting up for next year because next year they'll have all this experience.
Right.
And the defense is going to be even better.
Well, and then the other key with them is their owner. How long, because he's one of the guys complaining about not having enough money. Let's see how that affects them. All right, let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really?
That much? Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. We live these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
It's going to be sat, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. Even when I'm at the movies, it happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on.
This is PFW in progress.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States. To me, it meant being somebody in the neighborhood that was full of nobodies. They weren't like anybody else. I mean, they did whatever they wanted.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
He was one of the most feared guys in the city. I mean, he was first locked up at 11 and he was doing hits for mob bosses when he was 16. But what he really loved to do was steal. I mean, he actually enjoyed it. He was the kind of guy who rooted for the bad guys in the movies.
Paul Perillo.
In prison, dinner was always a big thing. We had a pasta course, and then we had a meat or a fish. Paulie did the prep work. He was doing a year for contempt, and he had this wonderful system for doing the garlic. He used a razor, and he used to slice it so thin that it used to liquefy in the pan with just a little oil. It's a very good system. There was Jimmy and Tommy and me, and there was Anthony Stabile.
How you doing?
Frankie Carbone. Great. And Jimmy Two Times, who got that nickname because he said everything twice, like...
And Andy?
And his guys, Frankie the Wop, Freddie No Nose, and then there was Pete the Killer, who was Sally Balls' brother.
Andy Hart.
And then there was Mo Black's brother, Fat Andy.
Some guy named Tom.
Funny how. I mean, what's funny about it? Right. Funny how. Let me understand this, because maybe it's me. I'm a little f***ed up, maybe. I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you, I make you laugh. How the f*** am I funny? What the f*** is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
PFW in progress.
I'll go home and get your shine box.
Okay, back here. I should tell Gary that I found out 246 times they say the F word in that movie, believed to be a record. It's not official, but it's believed to be a record.
246 times. How many minutes is the movie?
It's like a three-hour movie.
Is it 3 hours?
It's almost, yeah. It's a long movie.
Yeah. So 180 minutes.
Probably 2.5 hours.
It's actually pronounced Phuket.
Oh, so between 120 and 180 minutes.
And they say the F word.
It's more than 1 minute.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I guess, you know, it's real life, though. I mean, right? In that world?
Yeah.
You know, every other word, it's... All right, because you can use it as a noun, as an adjective, as a verb.
Yeah, it really, if you're Italian, you can find even other ways to
use
it.
It's a very versatile word. Okay, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And perhaps at some point we're going to be joined by Mike Felger from ESPN Radio, The Herald, and you might get some live interviews this hour.
Yeah, I was surprised at the press conference. He didn't ask about Ricky Williams.
Right, so if all of a sudden we go to a break and when we come back, Roosevelt Colvin or Troy Brown's here, I'm just letting you know what's going on. Let's see. Craig writes in again, how stupid was Berman's nickname for Maroney? He's anything but Boney. Is that what he called him?
Lawrence Boney Maroney.
Well, you know why he's calling him Boney Maroney. It's from the song.
What's
Boney Maroney, you know that song. What's the name of that?
Land of a Thousand Dances.
Land of a Thousand Dances.
How does it go?
It was na 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 na.
I have a soundbite.
I've never heard.
You've heard the song.
That's called Boney Maroney.
No, but there's
an old dance in like the 50s or 60s was called the Boney Maroney, like the twist.
Oh, I didn't know that. Anyway, if you guys have some time to fill next week during the bye, you could have a contest to come up with the best Maroney nickname. The way he is powering through tackles and using that stiff arm, we should call him Stony Maroney. And hey, Gary, what music are you playing this weekend after the scores? You going to scores this weekend? Oh, you mean after the touchdowns. Just the same ones you're always using, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Gabe is from Trevose, Pennsylvania. Frequent writer.
Boney Maroney, huh?
I can't believe you don't know what that is.
I've never heard that dance before, the Boney Maroney.
But you heard that song, right?
No. Yeah, I've heard that. I didn't know it was called Boney Maroney.
They say Boney Maroney in that song.
In the song, they say, yeah. Boney Maroney. Okay.
Do the Boney Maroney, like the Boney Maroney or something.
What would you call him?
He doesn't have a nickname. Everyone wants to keep trying to find nicknames for the guy. He'll let us know if he has a nickname.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Let me ask you a question. What's Dylan's nickname? You know what we call Dylan? Dylan.
Dylan.
Yeah. Right. We'll probably call Maroney Maroney.
Well, this isn't a big team for nicknames.
No.
It's not. You know, I mean, really, who's known for a nickname on this team?
No, I mean
Junior Seau, but that really never came from here.
No.
But nobody's going to call him what Berman calls him.
No, I'm just saying, as in general, the Patriots, even Tom Brady doesn't have a nickname.
Kind of just gets out there. Like during the draft, you found out that Sean Merriman's nickname was Lights Out. And when you have a nickname like Lights Out or Hitman or something like that, those
right.
usually stick. But if you don't have one, you just can't make something up and say, "Ah, well, I think we'll start calling Maroney."
I know behind, you know, in the locker room, they call Ty Warren Tiny. Mm-hmm. That's his nickname among the players. But no one outside of that uses it.
Yeah, like Felger doesn't write Tiny Warren.
Right, right. Let's see. Gabe says, this week's game looks to be tough as usual against the Fish. My question refers to Matt Light's struggle with Jason Taylor. Do you think he will have extra help with Daniel Graham most of the game, or will the Pats put someone else to guard Brady's blind side? I don't want to see another fumble or TD like week one. I think Matt has struggled significantly this year. Any reason why? Is his knee bothering him more than usual? Slugfest, Patriots 20, Fish 13.
So most of the fans are predicting the similar to the scores we predicted, you know, that
range. Well, I said 33-10, so.
Yeah, but we always have to take a touchdown off of yours for bias, so really you said 26-10.
Okay. All right. It's still 16 beats the spread. Craig, again, who would you guys pick in the first round? Craig, why are you talking draft? We're in week five. I don't know.
I'll take Calvin Johnson.
Well, he's won a DB, a wide receiver, a linebacker, we'll talk about that, yeah. Craig. Every year we do. We'll talk about the draft in March,
right
after the Super Bowl.
I'll start talking about it in February.
Well,
how about that?
Well, I'm assuming that the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, so we'll have something else to talk about in February.
Not late February when I'm doing the web updates.
Let's see. Doug and Blackstone writes in. He's moving, though, soon.
Yeah.
Remember that? He bought a house. I think the whole Chad Jackson hamstring injury is a bunch of bull. I doubt that you guys would take a guy with a hamstring injury and run him on a reverse play. I think his problem is between his ears. That's a good point.
Mm. Yeah.
About the Miami game, do you think Harrington is a capable backup, and are we possibly facing a Damon Heward-type upset? I will never forget that loss. 1 minute, I was cheering that Marino was out, and the rest is just a painful memory. I remember that game at Foxborough. Marino threw like two interceptions. I think Larry Wiggum intercepted him twice or something like that, and they were just killing Marino. They took him out. He had an Achilles problem, and Damon Heward came in and actually won the game.
Me and Andy were talking about that. See, Joey Harrington, I think, stinks if he has to start over a long period of time. But the one threat here is that he comes off the bench in the second quarter. And when you come off the bench, you don't have nearly the pressure that you do when you know you're going to start a game. So maybe the Dolphins catch lightning in a bottle, and all of a sudden Harrington looks like a good quarterback. Over the long haul, I say no. But like Damian Heward did that one game, for one game, something like that could happen. So I would say let's hope Culpepper stays in the entire game, because as long as he's there, I don't think they're going to win.
P.S. says, Doug, Tom, I think your FCC theory is wrong. You're going to get Fred in hot water. Speaking of Fred, stop eating that damn veal. I'm not going to go into detail. So probably about the way they make it, you know, with the calves and all that.
Oh, I'm telling you.
You pronounced Phuket.
I'm telling you that a very prominent person that works in the industry,
Dan Klecko,
told me 2 years ago that the FCC decided, it came down with a ruling, that it was okay to say the word, but the program directors or whatever had to approve it. That's all I'm telling you. Do I know? I don't know. I didn't look into it. I'm just telling you what I was told.
Well, and I know that FCC has handed out fines.
You know more than I do about it, so.
I don't know.
And I'm not getting Fred in any hot water. He runs the show. What the heck am I doing?
Gary runs the show. He's the ones with all the buttons.
I'm pronouncing the name of a city in Thailand. What do you want me to do?
Steve is from Yarmouth, Maine. And he says, I haven't got a chance
to... It's actually pronounced Phuket.
I haven't got a chance to tune into the show till today. I was wondering if you discussed concerns with dropping passes, such as great as Watson is supposed to be, it's killing me to watch him constantly drop catchable balls. In general, it seems the Pats are dropping a lot of balls. Is this a case of focusing too much on the problem? Has talking about concerns with the passing game so much caused us to be paranoid every time a ball is dropped? We think it's the end of the world, or are the drop balls really as bad as it seems?
Well, I mean, for two first-round tight ends, Graham and Watson dropped too many footballs. I'll tell you that. Because when you watch the Chiefs play, or if you watch the Chargers play, watch how many of those balls, or even the Falcons, the Cowboys, with those good tight ends, those balls hardly ever hit the ground. And that these are supposed to be two first-round tight ends. Watson is supposed to be this emerging superstar, you can't drop two balls a game. You just can't do it. So they have to do a better job of hanging on to the football, or Watson's going to be doing the same thing Graham's doing, helping Matt Light.
Yeah, the one ball that was thrown down the sideline to Watson, I can see him dropping that. That was a tough
catch.
Yeah,
that was a tough catch.
He had two guys all over him. He was horizontal when he was trying to make the catch. So,
but he's dropped some catchable balls this year.
Yeah, he has, especially the one in the Jets game.
Mm-hmm.
P.S. says, Steve, about Maine. He says, you forgot about China, Norway, Mexico, and Paris, Maine. They're up north. Go further north, and you've got townships and plantations like...
They just happen to come from Mexico.
Right. Plantations like Township E, population of two.
I can only imagine what it's like up there.
They get those black flies in the spring.
Do they?
Oh, they'll tear your flesh.
Ah.
They're awful.
I was watching the news, and they were telling you where to go to look at foliage, and I said, I know where to go.
Foliage,
whatever. I said, I know where to go, right outside my door, because the leaves are falling here.
Right.
Who's driving to Maine and New Hampshire to look at leaves?
These leaf peepers are crazy. And they get their maple syrup.
I think you should be arrested if you do that. Yeah. You should be pulled over and arrested. It's absolutely ridiculous. Sit at home and watch football like the rest of us.
Let's see. Craig again, would it surprise you guys and Pats fans to learn that we presently have 8 linebackers in the roster and only 4 wide receivers?
No, we were talking about that on the roster report, actually, the podcast. I just think the receiver situation has gotten to the point where if somebody gets hurt, they'll obviously go out and sign somebody. But they have Bam Childress on the practice squad. They have Willie Andrews who could come in a pinch. But if somebody did get hurt, they would have to bring someone else in. And like Andy mentioned, cutting something Kowski and the receiver there, those are guys that aren't going to get picked up by other teams. If you cut Marquise Hill, someone's going to pick him up. You know what I mean? So cutting Jonathan Smith isn't the end of the world because they could probably re-sign him at any point.
Right. He's out there. Let's see. Raymond in New Hampshire. Oh, no, it's Ron.
Ron and Raymond.
Ron Raymond?
It's Ron and Raymond, New Hampshire.
Okay. There was never a dance called the Boney Maroney. Boney Maroney was a 50s song by a guy named Larry Williams. So Gary, once again,
it's in the song, The Land of a Thousand Dances. If they don't say
now, maybe they did the Boney Maroney to the Boney Maroney song.
Do the Boney Maroney? If Boney Maroney isn't in that song, I'll kill myself. That's how sure I am.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But is it a dance?
I don't know. I didn't say it was a dance. I said it was in that song.
Boney Maroney.
But that's where Berman got it from. That song,
the Boney Maroney?
Yes. He didn't call him Boney Maroney because
he's Boney.
But
he's saying
it was also
a 50s song.
Maybe it was. I don't know the whole... I'm sorry. I'm an intelligent human being.
I was born in the 70s, not the 50s.
You know, I don't know the history of the Boney Maroney.
You got iTunes. Look it up.
I know it's in that song, Land of a Thousand Dances. And the only reason I know that is because a bunch of wrestlers sang it like 20 years ago.
Well, I mean, whatever. I don't think that's a good nickname for Lawrence Maroney.
I don't think Chris Berman is good at anything that he does, so who cares what he has to say?
Wow, that's pretty harsh.
I hate Chris Berman. You know that.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know.
I heard some
Brady's feeling like Big Pappy.
I heard some things about him. He's not as nice as people think he is.
Really?
Yeah, I heard how they run things at ESPN. Yeah.
What?
That's not a great place to work. Let's just put it that way.
Doug says he's just teasing me about eating. Oh, then he said not for the air. Well, that's all right. I said it anyway. It's all right. So I can eat my veal.
You're right? Done.
I'm done. I'm done. No, I have a few bites left, but I'm going to wait till the break.
Oh, okay.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Gabe writes in. Gabe again from Trevo's.
Got a lot of return emailers.
Yeah, a lot of people are very active on the keyboard today. I was watching NFL Network last night for the Cheerleader Challenge, and I was wondering when and if the Pats cheerleaders would be on the show. I think it's like this month. Why do I think next week? I think next week. We've got a couple there. Lastly, they said that the cheerleaders from all the teams would be appearing, but only 23 teams have cheerleaders. I didn't know that 9 teams don't have cheerleaders. Do you know which teams those are? See how many Tom and Gary can guess.
The smart ones.
The answers are below. And P.S., could you guys please answer my Matt Light question? Do you think he's struggling this
year? Yeah, I think that's pretty – we've gone over that 100 times. He's struggling. There's no question about it. I don't know why. Andy doesn't think he's very
struggling.
Good. Didn't think he ever was good. So
I think he's pretty good. He's always had trouble with the speed
rushers kill him.
So,
I don't know anything about the cheerleaders.
They're doing well. If you look at the game last week against Cincinnati, a lot of the runs went around Matt Light's side. I don't hear Boney Maroney. There you go, Boney Maroney.
Yeah, my word wasn't good enough for you. You had to
hear dances.
Yeah,
because I heard of the mashed potato.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I have no idea what it is. Because it's food.
Okay, so Gabe has the answers of the 9 teams that don't have cheerleaders.
I think cheerleaders are a thing of the past.
Really?
I say we get rid of them.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm certainly not watching any show called the Cheerleader Challenge.
They have it on NFL Network.
That must be a great show.
It's like, they put them in rowboats and bicycles.
I'll stop watching Lost and watch that instead. It sounds like a very entertaining show.
Okay, so you want to take a guess at
I would. The Steelers are pretty cheap. What about them?
That's one.
Okay. I know
Packers are 2.
The Bears.
Bears are 3.
The Giants.
Giants are 4.
The Jets.
Jets are 5.
I'm just trying to think of cheap teams.
Cleveland.
Browns are 6. Bengals are 7.
No.
Yeah.
Well, Bengals have cheerleaders.
Oh, yeah, they do. He's wrong.
Yeah,
already.
He's wrong. I know that because they all walked by me last week when I was waiting.
He's claiming the Ravens don't have any.
The Bengals definitely have cheerleaders.
Yeah, I mean, he's got Jets. I know they don't. Ravens, I'm not sure. Bengals, I know they do. Browns, I'm not sure. Steelers don't. Giants don't. Bears don't.
I don't think they do.
Lions don't. I'm not sure. And I know Packers don't. So,
yeah, the Bengals definitely have cheerleaders.
Yeah, they have the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they call them.
According to a member of the PR department, the worst-looking cheerleaders in the league.
The Bengals?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I said they looked pretty good to me when they were walking by, and he said, were you looking at their faces? And I said, what do you think? He said, look at their faces.
Another email. Now that Lawrence Maroney has proved himself as a productive runner, will we see him starting and getting the bulk of the carries soon?
You might not see him starting, but I think you're already starting to see him getting more carries. That'll increase as the year goes on. You're not going to see him get 30 carries a game, I don't think, but more around the 20 range could happen.
Okay. Let's see. Did we answer this one? Yeah, that was about Andy Katzenmoyer. Okay.
We're out?
Yeah, we're out.
I can always tell when we're out.
All right.
All right, now what?
I don't know. Anything else on your mind, Tom?
Nah.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio at Patriots.com. A couple columns I was reading for PFW in progress, for PFW that are coming out, questioning why the NFL or why does the media turn its back on the supposed steroid use or HGH use in the NFL when in the baseball
it's a good question.
They make such a big deal about it.
It's a good question. As I always said, when's the last time you saw a Peyton Manning, a LaDainian Tomlinson get suspended for steroids? All you ever get are these, you know, low-level defensive linemen or offensive linemen that nobody cares about. No superstar has ever gotten suspended for steroids.
Well, that we know of, because it's part of the banned, you know, substance abuse thing. Well, is they don't talk about it.
I think that during the whole baseball thing, I always said that was the biggest joke in the world. That I can know people from a Division III college football team where 90% of the kids are taking steroids, and that people think when you get to the NFL, you're not doing the same thing. Hey, you know what? Maybe Lawrence Maroney doesn't have to take them because he's young, he has incredible talent, but when you start getting older, guess what? You start losing the strength, you start losing the speed, especially on the offensive line, the offense and defensive line, where you start losing that strength when the younger guy's picking you up and throwing you around. So anyone who thinks that they don't use substances is crazy, in my opinion.
G is from Camp Arafan, Kuwait. He says, starting the season, I became an actual diehard Pats fan, but since I can't get CBS over in Kuwait, I download the show to my iPod and listen to it at work. My questions for you guys are, one, I know General Brady is great, but what measures is the team taking to make sure Matt Castle can carry the torch in case the general gets injured? Well, basically, you know, making him practice every
day.
Two, when can we expect Chad Jackson to have his breakout game? Tom thinks it's going to be this week.
I do.
I thought you said that Chad Jackson was going to have a big game.
I did.
Or maybe that was Doug that said that. Doug from Blackstone.
Yeah. Tom says in 3 weeks.
The sheriff says in 3 weeks. Three, what is your guys' take on the Pats winning the Super Bowl this year? I can see it now. Pats versus Eagles. Four Super Bowls in 6 years has to be a record. Keep up the good work. By the way, when are we getting the Family Guy soundbite?
It's not a record.
This is the guy who wants the Family Guy soundbite.
The Steelers and the 49ers both did that, didn't they?
Four and six.
Someone did it. Either one of them or both of them won 4-6.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be a record.
Yeah, I mean, they had the chance to get the record last year
if
they had three in a row. But that would have been a record.
Ding, ding.
Mike Felger's here. Mike, how you doing?
Good, Freddie. How are you?
Round one.
Congratulations. Nice win last week.
Well, you know what happened, though? You congratulated me for being objective and see where it got me?
Yeah, exactly. You can forget about that from now on, Felger.
I gave up on my team, and they screwed me. Well, they didn't screw me.
You're happy to be wrong.
I screwed myself.
You won't get another objective word out of his mouth for the rest of the season.
You have the right to walk around and feel good about it for a week, at least. It was a great win.
It was an excellent win.
It's the best win they've had in a long time. Really was.
No, it was.
That was a big boy win right there.
But, okay, so now Mike Felger is only interested in the truth.
That's right.
Objectivity.
That's right.
Who are the New England Patriots?
They're a little bit better than I thought. I didn't think they had the capability to do that.
What if they lose this week?
I still think, I don't think it totally evens itself out, Tom. I mean, I think that being able to win a game like that last week shows you more.
But if the Bengals aren't as good as we thought, because I can tell you one thing, they're a bunch of pansies.
Well, they can't tackle, that's for sure.
That's a joke. Their defense is an absolute pathetic joke, and they should be ashamed of themselves. And I was in the locker room after the game, and the way they treated a big loss like that is even more embarrassing. So I'm not impressed with the Bengals. Not taking anything away from the Patriots. I picked the Bengals bit. You know, I'm not taking anything away from the Patriots. I'm just saying, if they go out and lose this week, is it one of those teams that's up 1 week, then it's kind of one of those inconsistent things?
How do the Bengals ever be bad with all that firepower? I just find it hard to believe. You know, they got growing to do. They have maturity issues. They have
They're not ready for it yet.
Yeah, they're not ready for
it.
They're not ready for it. But that's a lot of talent on that team now. And, you know, maybe they had the letdown thing from the Steelers the week before. And also, I think that Marvin Lewis sacrificed that week or sacrificed, you know, being as good as he could possibly be that week to make a statement to his team with Chris Henry. Don't tell me Chris Henry doesn't change.
He only had about eight other chances to do that, like when he was arrested on his own instead of being sitting next to someone else who was arrested.
You know, Tom, I'm not going to sit here and be negative after a big win like that. I mean, I give the Patriots full credit. That was a good team that they beat. They did it on the road. They were overmatched in the secondary and still got it done.
Right,
it changes the way I view this team, Fred.
But what if they lose this week?
I'm telling you that the win would mean more than the loss would mean to me. You lose a tough division game, that happens. I mean,
So if you're 3-2 and tied with either Buffalo or the Jets going into the bye week, then that's.
I mean, I feel a little bit worse about it, but still, I mean, the fact that they went into Cincinnati and did that, I now know they can do it.
Tom,
before that,
alone, he's being positive.
I know, but
this
isn't good radio, Fred. I'm trying to.
Who says?
What about China?
I mean, before that, I doubted they could do it, and I think
disrespect to the Orientals.
I think they doubted it too.
Yeah, I agree.
And so that now they know, they believe. I mean, I'm not one of these people who say it doesn't matter what happens before Thanksgiving. Things are. I mean, I believe all these games are important. I'm a huge believer in the conference seeds.
There's only 16 of them.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you're a first or second seed, that's a huge advantage. So I think all these games are important. I look at regular season. I look at October games as much as I do late season games. Big win for this team.
All right, let's take a call, James from Roanoke Rapids. Is that right, Gary? Hi, James. How you doing?
All right. How y'all doing today?
Good, good. What do you got?
Oh, well, I just thought I'd give you my prediction for the game today.
Okay, let's hear it.
This weekend. I think it's not going to be as easy as everybody thinks it's going to be, because the Dolphins seem to get up for the Patriots like, you know, just like Denver does. You know, they seem like they know how to play Brady, and they feel like they probably can stop the run. Maybe not as good as they used to, but they probably can stop the run like they're pretty good enough that they keep the game close early.
Okay. And your prediction?
I think they will keep it close, then the Patriots will finally start pulling away. If they have like a 2-touchdown lead late in the third quarter, it's over.
Okay.
And so I think it's final score maybe 24-17.
I thought you already had this figured out, James. That's why you called. I didn't know that you were going to get on here.
Okay. But like I said, it doesn't matter what the Dolphins last few years, doesn't matter what their...
No, you're right. They tend to give the Patriots a tough time. So, but, you know, I you could be right. They could pull it, you know, the Patriots could pull away toward the end. When, you know, the Dolphins kind of give up when they realize it.
Let me ask you guys, what's the consensus of why the Dolphins have success schematically against the Pats? Is it that they press at the line and they can get to the quarterback, therefore Brady can't do his quick release thing, and that pretty much gums up the works? Is that it?
That's what I think it is. I think the teams that have success put pressure on Brady. I mean, if you look last week, the Bengals didn't have any pressure on him. So even though he didn't have a phenomenal game stat-wise, he was able to make the plays when he had to make them because he had time to survey the field. I think the Broncos and the Dolphins do a good job of putting pressure on him and not letting him get comfortable. Because once Brady's comfortable, you can forget about it. I don't care who you are. I don't care what cornerbacks you got. The game is over. If he gets in his groove, you're done.
Is the other component to that? Because we've seen big blitzing teams come at Brady. I don't think
it's necessarily just blitzing, though.
It's blitzing teams that can cover on the outside, right? Because then he's not. I think there have been teams who've blitzed him like crazy, and if the coverage isn't there behind him, he can still pick you apart because he's great at making that quick read and unloading the ball. I think the Dolphins in the past have had success because they can get to him, and you had Madison and Surtain on the outside gumming up the receivers, and so you're taking away his first quick read. Now, I don't know with these new corners and the new DBs they have in Miami, do they have that coverage behind the pass rush?
The
That's my
that
question.
Question is no. You know how I know that? Because I'm from New York, and I know who Will Allen is, and he sucks. So
isn't Will Allen playing safety? Or is he a corner?
He's a corner. Okay. It's Jason Allen.
Jason Allen, but he's not even playing.
No,
with
he
regular
hasn't
defense,
been playing.
Right?
No. So, but Will Allen, I don't think is very good. So to answer your question, some of the young guys they got in their secondary, I think, could develop. But as of right now, they're not even close to what they used to have when they used to go one on one with those receivers and shut them down.
All right.
Yeah. The big question I had was whether they're going to use the same. Game plan that the Denver used, and try to stop the run and then hope that Brady has another off day.
Definitely. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. No, that's a good
call. That's a pro right there, Freddie.
Is that so hard to do, Fred? You couldn't figure that out?
I thought Gary did it already. I didn't know James was still with us.
Fred was shocked when he asked the second question.
Jeez Louise.
He's like, Gary and I have an unspoken
Andy
repertoire.
Told me, when Andy's going to be on your show, I said, I should call in and say, hey, this is Tom from the office. And he said, if you do, make sure you get your question out in about 2 seconds because Felger just hits that button as soon as
you don't let him linger, man. Get him on, get him out,
no,
make your
I
point.
I didn't know he
Goodbye.
Was there. I didn't know James
Thank you for your
there.
Support and your listening. And your call.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate it, but let's move on.
Okay.
You can see why the guy is so popular with Patriot Nation.
Just not.
By the way, I don't know if you knew, but Paul helped out with the latest Brady book, and they spelled his name wrong in the acknowledgments.
Perillo?
Yeah.
You're saying it's the Brady book is by Charlie Pierce.
Right.
Pierce didn't get his name right?
Right.
P-A-L-L.
Terrible.
Pierce didn't get much right in that book.
Oh, man.
Have you read it?
No, but I know Paul had to edit it, and it took him about 6 months.
Paul Perillo had to edit it?
Yeah, that's why
he
was
acknowledged. It.
This was a Patriots production?
No. No, it was he just paid Paul on the side to help him edit it.
I don't know if I'd use the word paid for the work he had to do and the money that he got.
From an English grammar standpoint, but from a factual game standpoint.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He had, like, the field goal distance wrong in the Super Bowl. I mean, how do you get that wrong?
It's right there in the guide.
Right.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so thanks but no thanks for the acknowledgement.
So, Fred, I mean, you ask me. I mean, again, an objective person isn't stubborn. He doesn't stick to his gun. You know, I didn't think the Pats were talented enough to pull off that kind of win.
No, that's why I'm asking.
Now I have to acknowledge that they are. I'm still not saying they're a Super Bowl favorite, but I'm saying they're better than I thought they were and have the chance to be better than I thought they were.
All those mean words you said to me 2 weeks ago, you're obviously sorry for.
Those weren't mean words. Those were how I felt at the time.
He's not sorry.
I mean, why would I apologize
I'm only kidding.
For being a fan of my convictions? But what does it mean for you now, someone who was that high on...
apologize 1,000 times!
Someone who was that high on the team and now they go and do that, you've got to be... It's got to be, you know, arousal central around here with Fred and the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. No, come on now. I haven't been... No. Walking around, you know.
No, but you're feeling good.
I felt good. I picked against the Patriots. Right. I felt good that I was wrong. I feel good that this team is starting to come together. I feel good that, you know, they came up with a defensive game plan that obviously just...
Did we learn something? How about this?
But the thing about the Patriots right now is and here's me being objective. I don't think they're that good where every matchup is in their favor. You know, to wit, Denver. I think Denver, right now, Denver's defense is a bad matchup for the Patriots because of Denver's speed.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
The Bills have that quick kind of defense that could cause problems in a couple weeks.
Right.
Well, let me ask you, football guys, did we learn anything, or did the Patriots learn anything from that game? To wit, is Artrell Hawkins better in center field than Eugene Wilson?
I think so.
Are they a steadier, stronger defense with Artrell Hawkins playing primarily, and has Eugene Wilson, has that thing come to an end?
I believe Artrell Hawkins is one of the better players in that secondary, and I think he's proven it since he's been here. He picked up the system quickly. He was right out there. He's physical against the run. Yeah. He can cover because he used to be a corner. I love what Hawkins
does. Yeah, you know what, Tom? I don't know exactly what it is when he's out there, but when he is, it just seems like there's fewer big plays. There's fewer breaks. I don't know how he does it, but it happens.
Bill has kind of said that Artrell Hawkins, forget about what he's done in the past. He came here, and maybe the way they're using him,
whatever system he's in, it's working.
It's another guy who, you know, because of this system, he's thriving. It's the kind of thinking man system that a guy like Hawkins. Now, is he a better athlete than Eugene Wilson?
I mean, he's not
probably
a playmaker.
Not.
He's not a playmaker.
No.
I don't think he is, but the way he plays, I don't know. It just seems, I don't think it's a coincidence that when he was out there giving up those big plays to New York and Denver,
so what
when
do
you comes
do with
back,
Wilson now? Do you make him a corner? It's
a good question. Make him a rotational player? I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see when
he played good in 2 years.
Let's see what happens when he gets healthy and who starts that first game back when Wilson's back. Is it Wilson and Rodney Harrison back there? Is it Artrell Hawkins and Rodney Harrison? I think that's, you know, maybe it takes a game like that and an injury like that to learn, you know, how are you a better team? And maybe you wouldn't have known that unless Wilson had gotten hurt. I think it's one of the interesting things that come from that afternoon.
Yeah.
Speaking of injuries, Culpepper showed up on the injury report yesterday with a sore shoulder.
Yeah.
It's listed as questionable
Well, it's probable, I thought, but he didn't even practice yesterday.
Well, I thought it was. Oh, maybe.
It's probable.
Yeah. Is this a ruse? Is this for real?
I don't know.
Are they kind of setting it up so if they have to pull him, there's an excuse and put in Joey Harrington?
I asked Bill about it today, and he said, no, we're going to prepare for Harrington as we would any other player, all 53 players we got to prepare for, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, I don't know how you don't look at it. I mean,
are you worried if Harrington? Well, you don't care if the Patriots win or lose.
I mean, I do. Worried is the wrong word.
Right. Do you think it's a possibility that a guy like Harrington comes in and gives him that spark off the bench?
That he could even be better than the guy that was in there? I think it could be Matt Schaub, you know, who I think gave the Falcons a better chance of winning that game last year than even Mike Vick would have.
Right. Right.
But, I mean, that's not – I mean, Harrington was bad through most of his tenure.
He's an interception.
But as I
thrower.
Said to Fred, he's bad if he has to start every week. But sometimes these guys, if they have to come off the bench in a game, you can catch lightning in a bottle. And they'll play well because they really don't have much pressure on them. They just come in, you know, they're kind of in the flow of the game. But then if he had to start for the next 3 weeks, I don't think he'd be effective. But the Patriots' biggest worry, I believe, is if Harrington comes off the bench and provides them a spark. Because as long as Culpepper's in there, I don't think they have a chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go that far. I mean, I think, you know, the Pats should win this game, but I'm not going to say it's automatic. I think it's going to be tougher than last week. I mean, heck, any game's going to be tougher than 38-13. But it's just, you know, I think the biggest thing Miami has going for it is that it's probably playing for its season.
Yeah, their backs against the
wall. I mean,
if
it's 1-4,
it's over.
It's over. So the most desperate team, that's the old adage in this league, right? The most desperate team has a better shot, and they have a reason to be far more desperate. And, again, I think, Fred, even you'd agree with me on this, the Pats' talent this year is not so far and above everyone else that if they don't play well, they're going to be guaranteed a victory. I mean, I think in 04, it was that way. They could show up and play at 80% and win most games. They weren't even – no team got close to them in 04. And in 03, it was that condition, but a little bit less. You know, I think that this team – it has to play like it did in Cincinnati every week to win. And so if they don't play well, they'll lose. I'm as simple as that.
Well, I think that this team, I think, has the potential to be better than 04. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
I don't know, Fred. That was...
Yeah.
I mean...
I really do.
That was a wagon. That team led the NFL in margin of victory. 11 points a game is their average margin of victory in those games.
It was 6.5.
I think in the victories, though, if you take out the two losses, they won those games by 11 points of those 14 wins. Vinatieri didn't have to make one game-winning kick that whole year. They rolled through everyone in the playoffs. They rolled through everyone in the regular season.
No, they had
that
a stifling defense, you know. But I think that the Patriots have a chance to be similar. I mean, look at the game so far. I mean, some of the competition may not prove to have been the best, but what, they've given up 17 points?
The defense, from a points allowed standpoint, Fred, has been everything you needed to
and
be.
And you look at this year right now, just from statistics, and you can't always go by stats, but this is the first time I remember, 03, 04 included, where in every statistic, they're like in the top 10.
So how long are we going here?
Usually there's one statistic where they're sort of, you know, down, you know, whether it's red zone defense or red zone. But this year, everything's up there. So I think they've got the potential. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh. Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
The New England Patriots.
And it's Patriots Friday here on 890 ESPN. Mike Felger live from Gillette Stadium as we are every single Friday. Don't forget we have those fat heads we're giving away. But right now let's bring in one of our regulars, Matt Light, Patriots left tackle. He joins us here in studio from the bowels of Gillette Stadium, fresh off of practice. Matt, how was practice? How'd you do?
Went pretty good, you know, for a Friday practice. We did what we needed to do.
How about you personally? You think you're still going to have your job?
Yeah, after
are you
this
okay?
practice?
Yeah, I mean, did this practice really really cinch it for you?
Solidified it.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, I think so.
Tell me, Matt, tell me what about this team. I mean, I think that back-to-back loss record that you have, you know, consecutive weeks without back-to-back losses, 53, is just outstanding. What do you think that speaks to?
You know, I don't know. I mean, other than the fact that we're preparing well, obviously, coming off a loss, we go out there and we make the corrections and obviously play better from week to week. But, you know, I don't know if anybody in that locker room really pays attention to that much. You know, I mean, it's always one week at a time, and it's whatever we got to do to win the game, you know. And anytime that you lose a game, you always come back in with a little bit more of an attitude to prepare better and work harder because you obviously didn't do enough the week before.
So is that one game at a time approach, which is just boring to talk about, but is that why – you do have that record because that the losses don't compound and the wins don't compound. It's everything's a separate entity.
Well, I think you learn how to deal with losses, you know, as you go. And I think we've had a lot of guys that are experienced and know what to expect, you know, coming off something like that. And, you know, anytime you have a loss, you have to take it for what it is, and you have to move on, and you have to prepare better. And I think that's what we've done successfully, and we'll see how it goes this year.
Are you guys a better underdog?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, like, I guess if you pay attention to all that stuff and you know if you're an underdog or not, but most of us really don't pay attention to that.
Okay, well, don't play that game with me because from what I understand, on the dry erase board in the locker room in Cincinnati, they had pinned up all the predictions for that game, and you saw exactly what everyone was predicting, which was Cincinnati, 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 Cincinnati across the board. So obviously someone's paying attention to the predictions and letting you know about it, yes?
I can't even read, so I would have to start with that.
But they put the logos up. You didn't even have to.
I saw logos in there, but I didn't pay attention to that. Actually, no, I didn't even see that. You know, but like I said, you know how it is around here. Everybody works hard and they prepare and they have a workmanlike attitude every time they come into the facility. So, you know, whatever they're going to say, whatever they write about, whatever the matchups are, whatever they're focusing in on, you know, that week, that particular week, a lot of us, we really don't pay attention to that. You know, we have a job to do, and we try to do it the best we can and one week at a time.
Well, some of you pay attention to it. Let's put it that way. I mean, a guy like
I'm sure some of them do, yeah, sure.
I mean, you know, Rodney Harrison seems to know what's being said and the way people feel, and I think he uses it as fuel, as motivation, and for him it works. I mean, he knew what everyone was picking.
Yeah, I think everybody's different in their own regard and how they approach that. And for some, you're right. I'm sure that seeing their name in the paper or having somebody write something negatively or positively has an effect on them. But, you know, coming from my standpoint as an offensive lineman, you know, we really don't get into that a whole lot.
You pretend like you're not that sophisticated, but I know better.
Well, thank you.
I know better. Joining us also in studio, Troy Brown, Patriots receiver and defensive back. Before we get started, Troy, did we not have a conversation last week? You were sitting right there, and I was sitting right here, and I asked you, so you've been wearing the blue or the white jersey this week at practice. What'd you say to me?
I knew that question was coming. And you asked me, was I wearing the blue jersey or the white jersey? And I did not lie. I was wearing a white jersey.
Were you wearing a blue penny then during
I was wearing a blue penny. So
that's tremendous. We gave you the out. That's why we didn't ask offense or defense. We said blue or white. So you knew you may be seeing some snaps there on defense in Cincinnati. How did it feel for you?
Yeah, I had to get a little rust off me there for a minute, you know, and but it felt pretty good. I had missed a play that I should have made, you know, over the middle there to get them in scoring position on that one drive. But, you know, had to get a little rust off. But I felt pretty good once I got going there.
Well, Troy, the player you're talking about is T.J. Houshmandzadeh, who goes, 6'2". Probably runs a 4, whatever. I mean, this guy's a stud. He's a really good player, and this is your first defensive back snaps all season. I mean, I don't know if you really expected to stick with that guy. I mean, that's a tough play.
Yeah, I expected to. You know, I mean, that's why I was out there. You know, like I told you before, you know, I try to go out there and I give him my best shot, you know, and I accept all the challenges, and I look forward to him every week, and it gets me going. You know, it pumps me up, and I knew it was going to be a load to handle there, but you know, I thought I was in good position to make the play, and I just missed the ball.
Troy, what about that streak? What about your ability to bounce back and not have losses compound themselves? Matt says it's nothing. It's just week to week. Do you think there's anything that speaks to something on this team bigger than that?
Well, I didn't even know about the streak until, you know, I heard people talking about it, you know. But, you know, I mean, of course, you got to be able to bounce back when you lose, you know, and that's the key. If you keep, you know, wallowing in your sorrows, you know, it's going to continue the next week. So, I mean, the best thing you can do after a loss is go out there the next week and get yourself ready to go and come out and have a good week after that. You know, that's the best thing you can do. So, and I think it's, you know, showing itself around here that, you know, we don't really, you know, wallow in our sorrow. You know, even though every time we lose a game, it's like a funeral in Massachusetts, in New England. You know, and we're all over the country right now. You know, I mean, everybody's just saying that, you know, the Patriots this, they suck, they don't have this, they don't have that. But, You know, so what? You know, we got to bounce back and not wallow in it.
Do you think this is a better underdog? This team is better as an underdog?
I wouldn't say that. I just think, you know, I think we respond well when our back is against the wall, you know, and so I wouldn't say that we're a better underdog. I think we are a pretty good football team. We just have to be more consistent with it, you know, right now at this point in the season, you know, so I wouldn't really say that, you know, we're a better team when nobody's giving us a chance to win.
It's Troy Brown and Matt Light here on Patriots Friday, 890 ESPN. Mike Felger here. Matt, tell me about Ronnie said to me that there was some – doubt's the wrong word, but he said there was uncertainty. When you have a new group of players and a new team, do you have the ability to go in and win a game like that and do what you guys did? And he said, we didn't know until this happened, and now we know. Do you concur with that? Do you think that, you know, maybe in the past that you would go into a game like that and you guys were rolling and you knew, you know, you knew what you were capable of, but this team, because it had been so long since you've had a win like that, that there was more uncertainty?
Oh, I'm sure there's always question marks going into every season. I mean, unfortunately, we never have the same guys lining up offensively and defensively and special teams, for that matter, from year to year. So there's always a little bit of uncertainty. You don't know how, you know, some guys are going to react to certain situations. But, you know, in the end, it always comes down to our preparation and you know, all the work the coaches do leading up to that week and how good a week do we have, you know, in practice. And I think that's what sets you up for the confidence to go into a game, whether it's on the road or at home, and have success and feel like, you know what, when they dial this up, you know, we're going to hit it. Or, you know, if this happens in the game, we'll be able to make adjustments because we've worked hard all week and we know what to do. But if we go out there and have a bad week and we're not preparing well and it doesn't go right in practice, it usually manifests itself out there on the field during game day.
So what was it feeling like last week, Troy? Did you guys feel it? Did you guys come off the field on Thursday?
We had a good week of practice, and Friday was good, you know, which is always important to have a good Friday, you know, because, I mean, more often than not, you know, you usually play the way you practice. Now, I've seen it go the other way, too. You have a bad practice, you play good. You know, if you play good, yeah, you play bad. I mean, if you practice good, you play bad. So I've seen it go either way, but more than likely it's going to go the way the week went, you know, when you get into the game. And we felt like we had a good week of practice, and we were prepared, and we knew the weapons they had and the talent they had, and they knew about the defense and all the turnovers, and we knew going into the game what we had to do to win. And that was probably the best all-around game we played, you know, all three phases, not turning the ball over, creating turnovers that we had, you know, all year, so, and even including the preseason. So,
you know, I'd have to go back to last September against Pittsburgh. I mean, really, I mean, you had two good wins in December last year.
I'd rather not go back to last September.
No, I know you guys don't, but we do. You beat Tampa and Jacksonville here, in December and January. I mean, those are Florida teams coming up here in the winter. They never play well. I thought you really had to go back to that Pittsburgh win last September 25th before you had a win like that where you felt, wow, that was good stuff. So that's partly why I thought it was important. I also thought it resembled, Troy, that St. Louis game in St. Louis a couple of years ago where same thing. You went out there and played your most, you know, defensive snaps really for the first time, and Ty Law had gone down the week before. It felt pretty much the same.
Yeah, coming off of a loss.
Yeah.
You know, so to an AFC team and, you know, and I just thought that, like I said, our teams overall, we just played great, you know, and we got off to kind of a slow start to start the game off, you know, going, we moved the ball a little bit and they had the punt, and then they got it and they moved it a couple times up and down the field, kicked a couple field goals, and then we just kind of tightened up. So, I mean, it was definitely our best all-around effort.
So then what's the mood this Friday compared to last Friday? You have a good week? You have a good day? Do you feel as good as you did last Friday?
I told you, I feel good every week. I feel good every Friday, so you know, I mean, right now I thought we had a pretty solid week of practice, and you know, we got all of assignments down. You know, of course, correcting all the mistakes, and so the key is you don't want to have too many mistakes. You got to correct on Friday. You know, that's not a good sign. You know, but if you do, you got to get them corrected and move on.
Both you guys have had a lot of experience against Miami. Troy, huge touchdown catch in overtime a couple of years ago down there. Matt, famous battles with Jason Taylor back and forth. What makes Miami so good? What common thread? They've changed some of their personnel and coaching, but what common thread is there with this Dolphins team as opposed to the Dolphins teams of the past?
Well, I mean, they're always an aggressive team that comes after you, and that, you know, they have a lot of different looks, and they have great players at almost every position, you know, defensively. When I look at them, I look at that secondary and I say, that's a tough secondary to throw a ball against, you know, a lot of man coverage. I mean, they glove up the receivers, and, you know, I look at their linebackers and I said, there's a great group there that flies around. Obviously, Zach's been doing what he does for a long time. Then you look up front, you got guys that have 240 some sacks, and out of three of them. So, you know, a very talented group up front that's very aggressive, and they play their style of defense very well. And when teams do that, they're usually pretty effective.
How hard is it to prepare for those multiple fronts? When I watch Dolphin games, I see 3-4-4-3 every other snap. Taylor's on the line. Taylor's back as a backer. Taylor's on the other side of the line. Does that present a lot of challenges for you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it all comes down to recognizing, you know, their fronts and, you know, getting people where they need to be and communicating well. And, you know, luckily we're at home, so the communication, we'll actually be able to hear each other. Hmm. We'll be able to communicate a little better out there. But, you know, we have to recognize, we got to see what they're doing, and I'm sure they're going to throw some things at us that we haven't prepared for. And, you know, it's just how well we make adjustments and how everybody does individually and collectively as a team that we can go out there and win this one.
Troy, does that secondary feel different or seem different on tape without Madison and Sertan? I know one of those guys has been gone for a while, but now now they're both gone. Is it a less aggressive unit? Is it less?
Say that. Yeah. Nick's got them playing hard. They look really good, you know, and you can throw out all the numbers, the record, how many sacks they gave up on offense and what this and that. But when it comes down to it, it's an AFC East game, and it's the Dolphins versus the Patriots, and it's always a dogfight, no matter what the record is. So it's going to be another one of those types of games again.
Well, speaking of the record, you recognize that they could be an extremely desperate team. They're 1-3. They lose this game, they're 1-4. In some ways, they're playing for their season, and desperate teams are dangerous teams. Are you aware of all that?
Well, I mean, they definitely want to come up here and have a big game. I think we're all desperate. You know, I mean, hey, we're desperate for a big win here. I mean, if it went the other way and they walked out of here with a win, you know, we wouldn't be sitting in the position we're at now. You know, we get a win, get a little bit more distance, a big AFC win, and you know, I mean, this is a big game for everybody involved here. You know, and it is going to be a dogfight. It's going to be tough all the way through.
Well, tell me, Troy, how much different is 4-1 going to feel than 3-2 over the next 2 weeks? If it's 3-2, that's your record.
Well, going into the bye with the win is always a plus also, you know. And you don't want to have your head coach mad at you going into a bye week, you know. So
it's 2 weeks of anger right there.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's self-evident. I mean, if it's 3-2, I mean, oh, it's only a game. But if you just think, I mean, 3-2 and 4, I mean, 4-1 sounds just so much better.
It sounds much better, and it can go from 18 holes of golf to 36 holes of golf. So have it your way. You know?
Excellent. Are you guys aware? You must be. They've been doing some field work out here. Bill Belichick said today that they removed about 50 tons of sand from that field. I mean, that field's known as a sandbox. Do you not sense 50 tons gone? Or do you think there's still a little bit of sand out there?
It's got to be a lot more than that removed. But, you know, it's a work in progress. We see what it's like on Sunday.
Do you like the field?
I love the field.
Come on. Let's try. I mean, if it's not going to be a straight answer, let's just say no comment.
No, I mean, I never really had a problem playing on grass. I mean, I love it. I prefer that than playing on some of those field turfs they got around the league, you know. And I've been here 14 years. So I've been used to playing on Foxborough sod. So it doesn't really faze me much anymore, you know. But, of course, having normal grass, regular grass, is always great to play on, you know. But it doesn't really bother me at this point, you know, so.
Do you think it gives you a little bit of an advantage, Matt? I mean, tell me, Dwight Freeney has to be a hair easier to block on sand than he is on AstroTurf.
On sand.
Right?
Yeah, well, I mean, we do play most of our game between the hashes. I think it might affect guys that aren't used to it. I mean, obviously, we play here. We practice on it before. We know what it's like. And, you know, maybe a little bit of an advantage. But, you know, these speed guys, they find a way to beat you no matter what the surface is like. And, you know, that sand stuff, especially for the big guys, I don't think it really has that much of an effect.
Okay, Matt Light.
Everybody loses a step on that stuff, you know, so it's not that much of an advantage because the guy's blocking him, he's got to get some foot in too, you know. So, I mean, it's kind of evens things out a little bit. But I guess if you're not used to it, you know, it's kind of like us going to play on turf, you know. I mean,
well, you guys happen to be a great turf team. I mean, your team is considered mutters, but your dome, I mean, you haven't lost in a dome in forever. You guys are great on turf.
I hope we don't have a dome game this year, do we?
I don't think you have a dome
game.
Yeah, you said that.
There you go. All right, Troy Brown, Matt Light here on Patriots Friday. Thanks for taking the time, guys. Good luck this week.
All right, we'll see you.
All right, Troy Brown, Matt Light here. Back to your phone calls, 1-866-ESPN-890, 1-866-377-6890. It's Patriots Friday on 890.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good,
it is good!
How about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
Gonna be sat, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free three championship banner prints signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Out as Mike interviewed Matt Light, Troy Brown's a good interview. I like the way Mike you put him on the spot. You don't go for the
I like how he just blurts out, "Are you better underdog?" And then like you don't really give him, you're not leading, you just, "Are you better underdog?" Then you kind of make him, you know, have to answer it right away instead of going on like a question where they know that that's coming at the end. Right. So it kind of puts them on the spot,
that's
right?
Good
like
though,
that.
Because now the next time they know that they can't get away with that type of answer when they're talking with them.
Well, I think they get away with whatever answer they want to get away with.
But say no comment.
But,
if
hey,
you
listen,
don't want to,
you know, the answers here in Foxborough are typically not very straight, which I don't begrudge. That's fine. They're
that's
trying
the
to win.
They do it.
They're trying to win football games, not appease the media.
That's
no problem with that whatsoever.
That's
However, if the answers aren't going to be straight, at least the questions can be. You know, that's sort of the way I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, you have a job to do.
That was a nice nice way Troy got around your question last week.
Oh, he lied like a rug right to my face. I mean,
okay.
I mean, he knew what I was at, but
hey,
I did.
Really? I mean, as a fan, you know, forget about what we're doing on the radio or in the newspaper, I kind of want my players to not give
away
that type of information.
You know, I was just talking about this with Mike Reese, the Boston Globe, and about Belichick and the injury report and how Els Hobbs, who had surgery
on Wednesday.
Last Wednesday, is questionable. And it's like, well, it's just a blatant lie. And my opinion is, good. Show me a coach that doesn't lie on the injury report, and I'll show you a coach who isn't winning.
Yeah.
I mean, lie all day long on that thing. Who cares?
I mean, we've had huge arguments on this show, though. You know, Paul and Andy feel that, you know, it's ridiculous to fudge around with the injury report.
Oh, come on.
You know,
it's about winning football games, not giving an accurate
injury
report.
The only thing I would say is this, though. When asked if other teams had his game plan, like his Bill Belichick's game plan, he said yes, but it doesn't matter because it's all about execution on the field. If that's the case, then what's the need to do that?
I think his point was, do they know what we do? And I think most teams do know what other teams do. You know, his point is, the way he does things is, why help them at all?
Yeah.
I mean, assume that they've got it. But I'm not going to give it to them.
I agree with him. Whoever plays the best on the Sunday of the game will win.
Well, that's, you know, a lot of coaches have felt that. I'll give you my playbook. You just don't know when I'm going
right.
to do it.
But you know what? There are a million little competitive advantages, and the one shining example to me is what happened in week two of the 2003 season. The Pats had just gotten blown out in Buffalo the week before. They go into Philadelphia. Philadelphia had an injury in the secondary and an injury up front on the defensive line, and on the Tuesday or Wednesday of that week, they make their trainer available to the website. So there's an interview with the trainer midweek.
Oh, the Eagles are very up front with injuries.
And by midweek, the Patriots knew that, I think
right.
it was Lito Shepard, who was a rookie at the time. I'm going to have the names wrong, but by midweek, the Patriots knew there was going to be a rookie starting at free safety, and there was going to be a rookie at one of the defensive tackle spots, and they game planned like crazy. If you remember that game, they hit a couple deep plays up
right.
the seam because they went after this rookie safety. On the other end, the Patriots didn't let anyone know what was going on during the week, and they
right.
come out with Dan Copen, rookie, starting center, first start, and Eugene Wilson at safety for his first game ever at safety. And the Eagles didn't know what was coming, and so they couldn't game plan against those players. If the Pats had done the same thing the Eagles did, the Eagles would have been attacking the deep middle the exact same way the Patriots did. That, to me, has always been the best example.
And when you
of what
say game plan, it's not like you throw out one game plan for another when you learn about a rookie at corner, but you might put in a play in practice that you wouldn't have otherwise.
Absolutely. Well, no.
And just get that under your belt so that in the game you can throw it out and just test this guy.
If someone's vulnerable, you go after him.
Right.
Bottom line, story
right.
over. So if you don't, as much as you can prevent the other team from knowing who's vulnerable and who's not, you do it. And if that means not being honest with the media, Who cares? They don't owe the media the truth. They owe the fans wins. I feel strongly about that.
I mean, you know, the fans are here to watch the game on Sunday. The press conferences, getting them live over the internet, that's kind of a cool thing that's happened the last few years. But really, the show is the game on Sunday. That's what the fans care about. How their coach goes and wins those games, that's up to the coach. And if, like you said, if he's going to fudge on the injury report or not be honest about the condition of the field, fans don't really care.
Are you claiming that he's not being honest about the condition of the field?
Well, that he doesn't know what it's like, or, you know, I would say so.
All right. Well, we just talked about a little bit with Matt Light and Troy Brown. I mean, Bill said this morning you were there. They removed about 50 tons of sand.
Yeah.
Well, they had to because they put down a whole strip of turf.
A whole strip down the middle.
Did they? No, yeah. I still saw some yellowness in the middle of that.
Well,
turf
what happened? Well, what they, you know, and I shouldn't probably be, but
go ahead. Yes, you should.
Right
Come
after
on.
That game, there was the sweet smell of manure. I mean, really fragrant coming up. So you know that they just.
I
want to
know who.
I thought that was because of the way the Patriots played.
Oh,
no, that was Perillo.
That's good. That's a good one. And so
good one, Tom.
But you know that they just excellent. Planted some new seed.
Who farted?
And then they, Brian Morey. And then they put this kind of mesh tarp down the middle strip. You know, from end line to end.
Well, it's
line,
not sod; right? It's seed.
Yeah, I think so. And they put this thing on
what
top
grows
of it to keep the – well, they accelerate the growing process by this tarp that they put over it that lets the sun in but keeps moisture and humidity in as well and heat, and it promotes the growing.
Uh-huh.
So I know that they did something in that middle strip.
So you sound like a lawn guy.
Yeah, Fred
you
knows.
Sound like you got,
Fred knows his lawns.
You got a nice piece of lawn at home and you're out there every Saturday
I
morning.
I mow. So, yeah, I mow.
Obviously.
You know, I actually enjoy mowing these guys know I get the Sears thing that picks up the leaves in the bag and mulches at the same time. And
then that's when they smoke it.
I'm into
know.
It.
I'll pay somebody to cut my lawn.
Right,
I'm not doing it.
I live on Comm Ave in the Back Bay. I don't know, you know, the city takes care of that.
You just sweep your side. Yeah,
exactly, right, precisely.
Right. Probably one of those brownstones, you know.
You know, it's not one of, it's, well, whatever, I don't have a lawn. Let's put it that way.
I mean, if I worked in Boston, I would live closer, but, you know, now I have a lawn. I never thought I would, but I do. I have a pool, too, Mike. But,
well, that's what when you're management here with the team,
yep.
That's what happens when you're upper management.
You get those kind of paychecks.
I've already proven a few weeks ago that I am not management.
But he is kind of.
I'm
he likes
gear,
it, you know, he is kind
just
of.
A small little gear.
Yeah.
That's all it is,
uh-huh.
You know, just connected to all these bigger gears. They ask me to do something, I do it. That's all. That's all it is. All right. Well, that's going to do it for our show. John Rook is coming. Is that right, Gary?
We'll be hearing a replay of yesterday's excellent show.
Oh, really? Because I was
as we've done for the past 4 years.
I was saving. I was saving emails for him just in case. Of, well, if we didn't get to your emails, we appreciate you emailing in and the calls, and we will see you Tuesday after a big Patriots win, 33-10. Big Patriots.